Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. In this module, we are discussing about the Employees Compensation Act 1923. This is one amongst the earliest act that has been passed in India regarded to the protection of laborers working in the industry. Workmen's Compensation or say Employees Compensation Act talks about those class of workers who actually met with an accident while working on the work floor. So what shall be the compensation paid by the employer, whether the employer is liable to pay compensation if the accident has been arise because of the negligence of the employee, or he is not bounded to pay in such circumstances. So all such criteria, provisions, rules and regulations which will decide the amount and the level of injury and the compensation to be paid by an employer to its employee. The Workmen's Compensation Act 1923 is one of the earliest labor welfare and social security legislation enacted in India. So when we talk about Workmen's Compensation Act, somewhere it is to fulfill the social objective and to secure the employees out of the fear that in case they meet with an accident while working on the machineries. Because when we talk about this era, it was era of industrialization later, wherein more number of industries were set up and our workforce not ready to work on the floor directly. They were not occupied with the skills which were required. So majority were the cases wherein the employees had suffered a lot because already they are at a lower class of society, hardly meeting up with their day-to-day expenses. So in such cases where this employee may meet with an accident while working on the machineries or say dangerous processes, so they are at the same time lose their jobs because they are not able to perform anymore, and secondarily they were not given any compensation from employer side, so their life became miserable. So to give this social security, this tool, compensation benefit act, act as a tool to give them security against such fears. It recognizes the fact that if a workman is a victim of accident or an occupational disease in course of his employment, he needs to be compensated. So from the very objective of this act is to provide compensation if any employee meets with an accident while working in the industry. The act does not apply to those workers who were insured under the Employee State Insurance Act 1948. So since we have ESIC in existence, which is already covering the medical benefits and a disablement part of these employees who meet with an accident, so those employees who are later covered under the ESIC Act 1948 will not be eligible to get any compensation from employer, because already this ESIC is also a tool to provide social security to their workers, and this is taking better care of the needs arising out of such accidents. So all those employees or workers who are under the ESIC Act 1948 will not be eligible to get any compensation from their workers. Section 53 of Employee State Insurance Act provides that an insured person or his dependents shall not be entitled to receive or recover, whether from an employer of the insured person or from any other person, any compensation or damages under the Workmen's Compensation Act 1923. So here many a times it may be a case that the worker meets with an accident and he is no more, the injury has caused death. So in that case, when we talk about the Compensation Act, their dependents will receive the compensation amount. But if the same employee is covered under ESIC Act 1948, in this case the dependents will be taken care of by the ESIC Act and they will not receive any compensation from the deceased employee's employer. Or any other law, the time being in force or otherwise in respect of any employment injury sustained by the insured person as an employee under this Act. The Act gives employees several benefits which help in keeping up motivation and loyalty towards the company. This in turn leads to better performance as well as reduced employee attrition rates. So when we talk about the Employees' Compensation Act, somewhere they are providing some relief, you know, a fear-free mind, and that fear-free mind will be more efficient when they are working on the workplace. Earlier the workers and the employees were under a fear that if they meet with an accident, if anything happens to them, what about their dependents, what about their families? But somewhere this Compensation Act has given relief to that worker to work freely at its workplace, that he is ensured that anything happens to him, you know, his family will be better taken care of by the compensation amount paid by the employer. And this leads to better productivity because the employee, you know, work with a very free mind, with a happy and secured mind, and it in turns also reduce attrition rates. Attrition rates means people leaving the industry. So it also reduces the people or the labor turnover that is arising in the industry. The growing complexity of industry in the country with the increased use of machinery and consequent danger to the workmen, along with the comparative poverty of workmen themselves, renders it advisable that they should be protected as far as possible from hardships arising from the accidents. So one major objective of this act is to protect the poor employees or workers who are already you know, very hardly surviving with the minimum wages they are getting. They are hardly you know, able to survive to meet up their living expenses. And on top of that, if they meet with an accident, then definitely their source of income is going to be at a cost. At the same time, the additional expenses that will be you know, required the injured worker. So here, to meet all this social objective and create a sense of relief among the workers, that in case if they are meeting with an accident or anything happens to them, what about you know, the source of income, or what about their dependent? So the main objective of the Compensation Act is not only, you know, monetary or economic in nature, but it's more of a social in nature. Workers' compensation is the insurance coverage given by an employer to its employees. The benefit offered by workers' protection policy would depend on the type of policy chosen by the employer. So somewhere this is a type of insurance being given now. For example, now we have a life insurance policy or a personal accident policy. So when we talk about personal accident policy, any person who will meet with an accident, okay, will be covered under that policy, and some amount of money will be given to that person. So there are so many amendments and refinements in such types of policies. So similarly, when we are talking about workers' compensation, it acts as a type of insurance that in case the employee or worker meets with an accident, what all type of compensation or, you know, relief will be provided by the employer. And it depends on the type of insurance an employee is covered under. The most common kind of benefit offered by workers' compensation in India is medical benefit. So when we talk about medical benefit, employer will be responsible to bear all the medical costs incurred on the worker who has met with an accident. So say for example, the hospitalization cost, the medicine cost, all will be borne by the employer. The Workmen's Compensation Act also sets from minimum and maximum rates of workers' compensation payable for death and and disability. Now these are somewhere, you know, major kind of forms which takes place due to accidents at workplace, or there may be, you know, major injury which may cause death of an employer or worker, or you know, the injury may cause disability. The disability may be permanent or temporary in nature. But in this case, some lump sum amount has to be paid by the employer to its employee. Because in minor injuries, if we talk about, say, minor injuries, employer may take care of the hospitalization or the medical expenses and he is free out of it. But then when we talk about, say, disabilities, which will in turn make the particular worker or employee to be incompetent performing the process he used to perform, then in that case, his survival is at stake. And here the employer will, you know, compensate him with some lump sum amount. So what will be that lump sum amount, how much will it be, is covered under this act, wherein it is well defined for what type of injuries, how much amount needs to be paid. In case of death and in case of disability, how much amount is to be paid. So that is well defined in this particular act. So it also gives a relief to employer as well, because sometimes you know, the people working or the workers may take advantage of this, and there may be you know, circumstances wherein the employer is in a great pressure and some more money is being demanded. So because of this particular act, not only the employer or worker is you know, at relief, but also the employer is at relief, because he knows what kind of injury, what kind of disablement or death, and what amount of payment has to be or compensation has to be paid. This minimum rates have been fixed over time with various amendments over the years. So now when we are talking about this minimum limits or minimum amount which is being set or decided to be paid by an employer, these has happened through a series of discussion and amendments in the act time to time. The most significant amendment, however, was the Workmen's Compensation Amendment Act 2000. So in this year, that is 2000, various amendments and alterations were made to this law. According to this amendment, workers or family members would receive compensation amount at a greater rate if they died or were disabled in the line of job. So here, when we have spoken about those limits which were set for different type of injury and the amount to be compensated by the employer, amendment made in 2000 stated that more amount of money needs to be paid by an employer in case, because of the injury, employee you know, meets death, or maybe the disability is to that extent that he will not be able to work anymore, that is permanent in nature. So in that case, the amount or the compensation value would be you know, at a higher rate. Under this act, a workman who dies or suffers disablement, that is partial or total, due to accident is entitled to get compensation from employer. So under this act, we are not you know, talking about those minor injuries that can be cured through first aid or you know, with minimum intervention of medicines. So here we are talking about those type of injuries and those type of accidents which may lead to disablement, whether they are partial in nature or total. Now what do you mean by partial or disablement? That means, now say for example, a welder. Now a welder you know, meets with an injury which has affected his eyes. So if it is partial in nature, that means still he will be able to, you know, work on the process, and still it is not destroyed completely, that is partial in nature. But though it is partial in nature, it will affect its work, because he will not be able to work so efficiently as he used to work before. And if we talk about total, that means he has totally now lost his eyesight and he has become blind. So there are no chances of that particular worker to work either on the same process he was working on as a welder, or he cannot work, you know, with ease in any other process because he has lost both his eyes. Similarly, we can talk about different parts of bodies that an employee may have, you know, just lost a limb. Or maybe totally he has lost his hand. So in that case, the compensation amount would be higher and the employer is bound to pay compensation to the worker. The act is applicable to the mines, plantation, transports, factories, establishment, construction work, etc. who are not covered under Employee State Insurance Act. So, those establishments which are not covered under the ESIC Act, they have to, you know, apply this act by compensating their workers. Because in case if the establishment is covered under ESIC Act 1948, they better take care of such type of accidents and medical expenses coming out of it. So, in that case, employer is at relief that he don't have to follow the Compensation Act. The Workmen's Compensation Act 1923 aims to provide workmen and their dependents some relief in case of accidents arising out of and in the course of employment and causing either death or disablement of workmen as a measure of relief and social security. So as we have discussed, the primary objective, or what is the primary objective of Workmen's Compensation Act, is to provide social security not only to the worker working in an industry but also their family members, because somewhere when a worker meets with an accident, not only he suffers but the entire family suffers in case he is the only you know, source of earning. So, through this Compensation Act, we are not only providing a social security or a relief to that particular worker working in the industry, but at the same time, the family and the dependents of the worker are also protected under this act by providing, you know, means of livelihood in terms of compensation to the worker who has met with an accident. It also provides payment by certain classes of employers to their workmen. Compensation for injury by accident enables the workman to get compensation irrespective of his negligence. So now in this case, we may think that the employer may escape or evade paying compensation by giving an argument wherein he states that the accident which has occurred was due to the negligence of the employee because he was not, you know, taking better care of the security or the safety measures which were being, you know, guided well in advance. He has to follow working on that process. But irrespective of all that, employer have to or is binded to pay compensation to the worker who has met with an accident, though it may be because of his carelessness and negligence. But again, we have spoken about, you know, the amount to be paid. So here we can, you know, differ into the amount to be paid to the employees or workers who have met with an accident due to negligence. It lays down the various amounts payable in the case of accident depending upon the type and extent of injury. So not only depending on various cases that how much an employer needs to pay or compensate an employee, but depending on the type of injury, if the injury is very minor, which can be, you know, just cured through medicines and say basic treatments, so the compensation value may differ. But then some injuries are a higher in nature, which may cause you know, certain days of absence of an employee on the work till the time he is not cured completely. So in that case, the compensation amount would be more. And as we have discussed, in case of disablement and death, the amount is very high. The employer now knows the amount of compensation he has to pay and is saved of many uncertainties to which he was subject before the act came into force. So we understand that before the existence of this Compensation Act, not only the employees but even the employers were, you know, exposed to such situations wherein they were not sure about how much to be paid, how to be paid, and then an employee was in a powerful position position to claim as much as he wants. And there were, you know, stoppages of work due to this. There may be strikes due to this. So now when we know that what type of injuries have to be paid and how much, even employer as is at a relief. The legislation has given security to the worker, and this has increased the availability of labor to some extent. So now when we talk about the insecurities, many people who were unemployed but were resistant to join industries because of the accidents and insecurity. But when the security, the social security was being provided, wherein the employee and the worker is at relief that if I am not there, my family will be taken care of by the compensation amount. So we had a new entrance, new labor workforce joining in the workforce. The worker now secured has become efficient. As know that whenever there is something going in a mind, maybe negative in nature, more of affects the efficiency and productivity of a worker. So when the worker is working on a process or maybe on a machinery, the negative thoughts that may arise, like meeting with an accident and the outcomes of the accident, will reduce the efficiency and productivity of a worker. But when this act was introduced, there was quite a relief, and this relief has somewhere motivated the employee to work efficiently, which in turn has increased the productivity. The act extends to the whole of India, and it applies to railways and other transport establishments, factories engaged in making, altering, repairing, adapting, transport or sale of any article, mines, docks, establishment engaged in constructions, fire brigade, plantations, oil fields and other employment listed in Schedule 2 of the Act. So these are some of the list of establishments which will be covered under the Employees Compensation Act 1923. The Workmen's Compensation Amended Act 1995 has extended the scope of the act to cover workers of newspaper. So earlier we identify that the workers working in the newspapers were not covered under this list. But after the amendment which was made in 1995, to cover workers of newspaper was also under its list. Not only that, but few of the unorganized job which were being carried out and which were again exposed to accidents happening. Now say for example a driver. So here a few of the other jobs were also covered under this list. A few of them are drivers, cleaners, working in connection with motor vehicle, workers employed by Indian companies abroad. So here this is something wherein though the company is Indian, but the worker is working abroad is also covered in this act. That means if it is an Indian company and the employee has met with an accident abroad, working out of India will also be compensated if it is an Indian company. Person engaged in spraying or dusting of insecticides or pesticides. So the spraying of insecticides and pesticides, these are some harmful chemicals which over a period of time will affect the health of that particular worker. So even they are covered under this act. Agricultural operations, mechanized harvesting and thrashing. So when we talk about mechanized harvesting and thrashing, the farmers or the workers who are working on the land are more exposed to accidents when it is not manual in nature and when it is mechanized. Horticulture operations and doing other mechanical jobs. Disablement. Disablement in ordinary language means loss of capacity to work or move. So when we are talking about disablement with a partial or total, let's understand what is disablement. That means this will affect the capacity. It may be physical in nature, mental in nature. It will decrease the capacity of a worker to work on certain operations or processes, maybe for a temporary period of time or maybe for his whole life. Such incapacity may be partial or total, and accordingly there are two types of disablement, partial and total. So when we talk about partial and total, now say for example, I may be using my five fingers and my hand for working on certain processes. So say while working on a machinery, I have lost one of my finger. So that is a partial disablement, which will decrease my capacity because I'm not used to working with four fingers. But over a period of time, I may overcome of this issue because I will be used to working with four fingers. But if I lose my hand, then I will be never, be able to work on that process again. And this is not practically possible. So that will cause to total disablement. Now some disablement may be temporary in nature. So the example of losing my limb, though I have lost it for permanent period, but then I will be able to work on that process after a few months or few days when I am adapted to working with four fingers. So that may be partial in nature, or that may be total in nature, that may be temporary, and that may be permanent in nature. In the Act, both types of disablement are further subdivided into two classes, that is temporary and permanent. Partial disablement, according to Section 2, subsection G, temporary partial disablement means such disablement as reduces the earning capacity of a workman in any employment in which he was engaged at the time of the accident. Now, when we have taken an example that while working on a process, I lost my finger. So definitely I'll be able to work without that. I will be able to work with four fingers. Now say I am doing a packaging job or a driving job, but the efficiency is definitely going to reduce. The capacity or the earning capacity will be reduced. Permanent partial disablement means such disablement as reduces his earning capacity in every employment he was capable of undertaking at the same time. So when we are talking about permanent partial disablement, this will not only reduce my earning capacity in the existing process, but I will be never able to work so efficiently in any other process. Total disablement, according to Section 2(1), subsection G, total disablement means such disablement, whether of a temporary or permanent nature, as incapacities of a workman for all work which he was capable of performing at the time of the accident resulting in such disablement, provided the permanent total disablement shall be deemed to result from the permanent total loss of sight or of both eyes, or from any combination of injuries specified in Schedule 1. So in our example, I have told you about, say I lose my hand. So I will not be able to work on my process, but I will not be able to work on any other process, and this is not temporary in nature. At the same time, for whole of my life, until and unless I have some artificial surgeries made, I will not be able to work for whole of my life. And certain injuries are like losing your sight, or you may lose your eyesight for a permanent period of time. So certain injuries are listed in Schedule 1 of this Act, which will be considered as total disablement. If a carpenter's left hand above elbow is amputated as a result of personal injury suffered in the course of his employment, it is total disablement because a carpenter cannot work with one hand. So in this example, we can see a carpenter employed in any company, organization, industry. If the hand is no more into existence due to any injury cause, it was removed, and because of this, now he will not be able to work on his process, but ultimately he will not be able to work efficiently in any other process, and that is permanent in nature. So that will be called as total disablement.